In today's video, we will be exploring this much debated and controversial topic. Should I receive communion on the tongue or on the hand? Join me in today's video. My friends, my name is Alvaro, and this is a channel Uniquely Mary, where we explore all things Catholic. In a special way, I like to focus on the souls in purgatory, the Blessed Mother, and most recently, a series of topics on the Eucharist. If you are new, please subscribe, hit the like button, and you can check out some of my past videos by clicking on videos when you click on my channel on your phone. There are many ways that you can support this channel if you would like to. To those who are supporting me in any way and by your prayers, thank you so much. So this is a much looked forward to video. So I've been putting out those purgatory stories, which I have so much enjoyed doing, especially in the month of November, to promote devotion to the souls in purgatory and that amazing book that I love, Purgatory by Father F.X. Shoup. One that got so much interest was about sins against the Eucharist, and there was a lot of discussion on communion on the hand or on the tongue. A little bit about my own background. After I had my conversion, probably about a year later, a friend of mine took me to this small town near Dallas where I met a wonderful, wonderful woman by the name of Elizabeth. And she let me read this book that I made many videos on, and it was one of the first really popular videos that I made. I loved it. I was there for about 3 days. I read the book in about a day or two. I loved it. And I really took Maria Sima to be like a spiritual mother to me. Now in the book, she encourages you to receive communion on the tongue. So I began doing that. And it just became such a habit that I sort of forgot how I even got started and why I did that. It was just what was normal. And in hearing all the different discussions, I realized that I needed to revisit and re-explore this issue and make a video about it to help explain it to other people. So first, to kind of give a much wider context to Eucharist and Catholic understanding of its own teaching. So first of all, as Catholics and the Catholic Church understands that we have this progressive understanding of our faith. What does that mean? That means that from 2,000 years ago to now, the Church has deepened its understanding and its faith, obviously. After 2,000 years, you think we would learn something. Our faith, even though it's the same, it's grown deeper. It's developed. We've understood things more clearly. And things that we knew in the beginning, we were able to define more clearly later on. It's the same for the Eucharist. We knew it was Jesus in the beginning, but we have come to really deepen the impact of this and what that means. Throughout the centuries, you have seen also many different ways to express devotion to the Eucharist, particularly in the Mass. Now, we often don't have records of what the Church did early on, but sometimes from the writings of saints, we see that they receive communion on the hand. At some point, as theology developed, we had masses where there was the communion rail and there was a much higher devotion to the Eucharist. This was partly because of the influence of scholasticism, which was a type of educated theology that came out of the 1200s and a little bit later, and this included figures like St. Bonaventure and St. Thomas Aquinas. These figures took Catholic theology to a whole new level, and we really understood that the Eucharist was God. It was really Jesus, and they were able to use really high theological language to describe what this was. Because of movements like this, we had more and increasingly complex masses that developed. For instance, with the communion rail, certain things that the priest would do, certain vestments that he would have to show devotion to the Eucharist. Now, this also affected the lay people because they saw, hey, if there's all this pomp and circumstance and all these things surrounding the Eucharist, it must be important. So it increased their reverence for the Eucharist. One of those rules being that lay people could not touch the Eucharist. You could only receive it on the hand unless it was some extraordinary circumstance, which happened hardly ever. So devotion to the Eucharist and faith in it, because of that, grew at Vatican II for many different reasons that we're often not aware of. Many changes happened. Some say for this reason, some say for that. I don't know all of the historical things, and we can argue about that for hours and hours and hours and never really find a solution. But because they had seen that at some point in the church, it was allowed to receive on the hand, they wanted to bring back some of these practices. Perhaps it was a form of experimentation. Maria Sima has some comments on this. Now, as it currently stands, as we all know, the church allows us to receive communion in different ways. On the hand, on the tongue, standing, kneeling at a communion rail. Did you know also that there are other valid rites in the Catholic Church where you can receive communion on a spoon? For instance, in certain Eastern Rite Catholic churches where the bread is leavened, as opposed to our bread, which is unleavened and then consecrated, they will take a small spoon that has a very specific name of which I do not know. They will dip it in wine and give it to the person. So this just goes to show that in the many different rituals of the Catholic Church throughout the last 2,000 years, they've tried many different ways in order to have the best way to show reverence to the Eucharist. Without further ado, I want to read from excerpts from the book Get Us Out of Here, where Maria Sima specifically talks about what she thinks we should do in regards to receiving communion. Now, I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to give you the opinion of someone that knows more than me, so that you don't make your own opinion or my own opinion, but you take a higher opinion and then consider what you need to do. Have the souls in purgatory said anything about Eucharistic ministers? Yes, under normal conditions, only the consecrated hands of priests may distribute communion. The law of the church states that this must be held unless there are extraordinary circumstances, such as a priest being bedridden. Extraordinary does not mean the difference between the congregation waiting 2 minutes to receive or waiting 10 minutes. We must always prepare in prayer to receive Jesus, and people who insist on getting everything over as quickly as possible have no idea how enormous a privilege and source of graces and protection receiving our Jesus is for us. If anybody needs evidence that Eucharistic ministers that they are pushed today are not within God's wishes, I can tell the following story about something that happened here recently. A woman who distributed communion and who led many other women to do the same died recently. I knew her briefly and heard a lot about her. Before the funeral, the casket was open for family and friends to say their goodbyes. Then at a certain prearranged time, it was closed. But within less than an hour, a close relative arrived late and begged the priest in charge to please open it again briefly so that the loved one could also see the deceased as the others had. The priest agreed and with one or two witnesses on hand, lifted the cover and looked in. The small group saw something that was not the case just a very short time before. The woman's hands had turned pitch black. This was to me, as well as to others, God confirming to us that unconsecrated hands may not distribute Jesus at communion. When I first heard the seriousness of someone touching the Eucharist, if it wasn't a consecrated hand, or if it wasn't their duty to, I remember thinking, wow, I need to receive communion on the tongue. Because at the end of the day, what we really should be asking is, what are the effects on our soul and in the afterlife of one decision versus another? Not which one do you like, which one do you not like, but which one is good for your soul and which one is bad for your soul, and do we have evidence? Maria Sima here proposes that for this woman to have touched the Eucharist was harmful to her soul, and there was evidence to show this. I want you to consider that. Now, let me read another excerpt from later on in the book where she goes a little bit more deeply into this topic. Now, I want you to hear the connection that she makes, because she makes a strong connection between proper devotion to the Eucharist and things that affect all of us.